Our first reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 22, beginning to read at verse 24. A dispute also arose amongst them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood beside me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." This is the word of the Lord.
Matthew chapter 20, starting at verse 17. Now Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. On the way, he took the 12 aside and said to them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life." Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favor of him. "What is it you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared for by my Father." When the 10 heard this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life a ransom for many." This is the word of the Lord.
So this morning, we're looking at Luke 22, and the chapter starts to explain the plot that was taking place to kill Jesus. Then it describes the Lord's Supper, and they're all familiar passages. And then after that comes this little question: who is the greatest? And what a question that is. I remember quite a few years ago now, just before I started the job here, you're always a bit uncertain, aren't you, when you start a new job? And I was watching something on the God channel, and the man said, "Success is doing what God wants." And that sort of smacked me between the eyes, and I thought, okay, that is right, and that's what I need to concentrate on. It's not about the position or the role that we have. Mother Teresa, very well known, said, "Deep faith in action is love, and love in action is service." And that's what we're going to be thinking about this morning. The people in Jesus' day were expecting a political liberator as the Messiah. They were not expecting Jesus, who came to serve them. And this was a bit of a shock. We look to those who lead, both in the church and in the world, But we need to remember that we are all sinners, saved by grace. None of us are perfect. We have different gifts and talents. But for Christians, our greatest desire is to love Jesus. He came and gave his life for us, and he alone should be our Lord. There are many areas of temptation in our lives, which is why we probably say confession every week. There was a book that Richard Foster wrote called Money, Sex and Power. And these are three major temptations for us humans. I remember when I worked in the youth service, there was an evening where I had to meet my line manager. And we went out for a meal and I sat opposite him. It came into conversation that I was a Christian. And he shared with me then that what had put him off church and God was that he'd observed people in church and thought it was all about a power struggle. And this really saddened me. And I said to him that I hoped he would see something indifferent in me and change his mind. I don't know whether he did or whether he has. I don't work with him anymore, but I still continue to pray for him. But I thought how sad this is when we mess up, and very tragic when others might turn away from Christ instead of us bringing them to him. We need to remember that others do watch how we behave. But let's be honest, there's probably desire in all of us to be noticed and to get our own way. And I wonder this morning, which is a very deep question, are we searching for power? Are we searching for position? Are we proud people? Pride can be described as my insistence on having my own way, putting myself first, a desire to control. It's all about me and what I want. But how about what Jesus wants? It says in this passage that we should be like the youngest. Well, what does that mean? Again, that's another good question. And this Lent, I was challenged to look at childlike qualities. And that's something that I've been looking at. And we discussed it slightly in the Hungry service. But one of the things that I noticed about children last week was that some of the children from the school came in to practice for their Easter performance. And I was in the church centre at the back when they all went out. And they were waving and they were smiling and they said goodbye. And some of them said thank you. And I was only just standing there. And I thought that was very refreshing. And so it might be a good idea to observe children a little bit more over the next few weeks and try and work out what we can learn from them. At the end of the day, we should be aiming to be like Jesus. And Jesus came to serve. As Christians, we are servants of God. And if you remember the story of Eli and Samuel, Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. It will be great one day for us to hear God say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in the small things. And that's what it's about. Be faithful in the small things. Jesus was the ultimate servant, and this was prophesied about in the Old Testament, Isaiah 42. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. And we all know that famous passage in Philippians that says, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. So sometimes we clamour for position, for status. How great is our desire to serve? Mother Teresa is famous for serving. And now, thinking a little bit more about Mother's Day, the second reading was about a mom who wanted the best for her children. She wanted them to be important and to have a great position. But it says, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. We all have different gifts and talents that we can use to serve one another and to serve God. In the passage, the first one, it talks about having food served to you. And that's really nice, isn't it? To have no washing up to do after you've been out for a meal. But life's not all about taking and receiving. It's also good to give. There needs to be a balance. And there is an expectation, actually, for us in the church to be available to help and serve others. Now, moms learn very quickly how to serve their children. They carry them inside for 9 months, hopefully, as they grow and develop. As soon as they arrive, they're feeding them, washing them, changing them, washing and ironing the clothes. As they get a bit older, transporting them to nursery or school. The list goes on and on and on. And mom learns what it is to be patient, dedicated, loyal and trustworthy. And they learn to protect and look out for their children. So I think that moms learn what service is all about the day babies are born. Let's not forget the dads. They learn quickly too. And it's not always children that we have to care for. It may be parents. It may be each other if there's an illness. Like everything, when you've done a job once, it's easier the next time. So you bring the baby home and you're scared to death of getting it wrong. And you change the nappy for the first time and you wonder if you're getting it right. But after a few times, you get the knack. And it's the same with serving others. Once you've done it once, it's not so hard the next time. It starts to become part of our natural daily lives. And so as we approach Easter, we see how Jesus serves us by laying down his life for us. We watch on Maundy Thursday as Jesus washes the disciples' feet. Jesus knew what it was to serve, and we should aim to be like Jesus and serve others. But I think this can only be possible by knowing what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonour others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. How kind am I to others? How often do I put myself last? How persistent am I? Perseverance gives us a purpose, especially in spite of difficulties, obstacles, or discouragement. Being in a state of grace to the end, leading to eternal salvation. In the Christian life, we need to be persistent, to last, to endure. This might mean bearing pain, hardship, trials, having the ability to stand, to continue, despite fatigue, stress, or other adverse conditions. We need to have stamina. We need to have lasting qualities. We need to endure. It's not always easy. So we need to have determination to press on. We need persistence. And this takes effort. Sadly, everything that we need to do takes a little bit of effort. And sometimes we might feel like we haven't got any, which is fine. So then I suppose on days like that, we can let other people serve us. That's okay. So do I serve others daily? Do we serve our employer and others in our day jobs? We can do many things to serve, and I'm sure that you're thinking through things in your head as I speak. Some of the things can be cleaning, supporting someone in need, listening, teaching, being a volunteer in the community, perhaps visiting the sick, or just being a good friend. We serve our families, and we can serve our spiritual family, and we can also serve strangers. So this morning our challenge is for us to be Christ to others, to let love be our motivation. Let's give thanks for all those who have served us and remember that true greatness is found in serving others. Amen.